Hello, everyone. Look at this real attractive background I got going. We ain't got no dolly today for sure. I am coming to you live from San Francisco, and we are going to do this call on the laptop, but it's going to kick ass anyway because we are drop it like it's hot month, which should be great. I'm going to bring Lisa on stage. We'll get going there. And then we will talk about all the amazing prizes and different things. And then we will get to what we're going to do this week, which is halftime method. And we'll talk all about that. So let me get, if you're wondering why I just look so crazy, number one, I could not figure out the shower this morning, so I couldn't wash my hair. The water was legit scalding hot. I was like, where's the cold water? Like, I would have took a cold shower over that one. And I love a hot shower, but oh God. So I was just like splashing water on myself and stuff. So I couldn't really wash my hair. So we're getting some creative juices going here, trying to just, I sprayed the shit out of it, trying to get it to stay down. Cause it was like, if you have short hair, you understand short hair problems, which is when you wake up in the morning, you pretty much look like Don King, like the hair goes everywhere. So I was doing all that I could without burning my scalp off. And I've had no coffee yet because I just have to be really honest. I'm not loving the hotel that, I'm here for a business thing. And, my friends picked out this hotel and said, this is the one, this is where we should stay. Like, I can see the Golden Gate Bridge, which I will say I was pretty fucking impressed. I've never been to San Francisco. I was like, oh my, I was literally an idiot in the car as we were like driving through. I like the terrain. And then I was like, oh my God, is that Alcatraz? I was like, is this the Golden Gate? I mean, I know my Uber driver must've just been laughing his ass off at me. I was so Southern. It was thrilling to see it all. But the hotel is a little circa 92. It's bringing me back to my high school roots here. I feel like I'm graduating again. So this is why I look the way I do. It's also a lot colder here. I did not check the weather. I was in Las Vegas for the 4th of July. It was 113 at the pool. This morning was 57 degrees and the high today is like 62. So thank God for hoodies. I brought a couple of my favorite. These are Nike. I don't know how to show you, but they're Nike. They're kind of crop, but they're not super crop. They're like crop waist, I guess. Little sweatshirts. I have one in almost every color. I've got five of them. So I got rid of all my other sweatshirts for these. If you go to Nike.com, you can find them. It's the ones, it's something crop, and it's a sweatshirt and it has no hoodie on the back. It has the swoosh, but I've got several versions of it. So if you want a really good sweatshirt, this is the one to get, I promise you. And it was on sale a couple weeks ago. So, all right, now that everybody's getting here, let's talk a little bit about some business. It is Drop It Like It's Hot month, which means everybody is declaring how much weight they are going to donate in pounds to my birthday gift. We will have on the website a thermometer. We are going to update everyone every week where we're at in terms of a group making our way to bust the thermometer. So let me tell you the prize levels. When we hit 1,000 pounds lost, we will be sending out 5 No BS prize boxes. And if you are in our Facebook group, you know how good those are. Like, we try to pack it with some really cool stuff. People always are shocked. 3,000 pounds lost, 5 No BS water bottles are going out. Here's a really good prize. This is the prize I'd like to win. At 5,000 pounds, 5 Good American gift cards are going out, because if you know, you know that every pair of jeans I own come from Good American. Probably half the crap I'll wear on stage next week at No Excuses Camp will be from Good American. It's Good American or the Banana Republic these days. And I will just tell you, I love the Good American. Very inclusive sizes. So it is a great, great place. At 7,000 pounds lost, we will have 5 Corinne's favorite boxes going out. So this is going to be boxes that are curated and filled with shit I love, like just random things that I like. We're going to like pack a box and send it to you. At 9,000 pounds loss, it will be 1 month of private coaching with me, or no, with the coach of choice. So we'll give a month away to someone and you will get a month of private coaching with your coach of choice. At 10,000 pounds lost will be 1 month of private sessions with me, which I just finished up with Holly, who she is a delight. If she hears this, shout out to Holly. She was a lot of fun to work with. She thought she was on a stall. I just literally had her text me every day what she was eating. I was just like, just text me what you're eating every day and tell me like if you overate or not. And after 2 weeks, she dropped 2.5 pounds. Just, I didn't change shit. And when we coached, all I did was just coach her on not believing that she was on a stall. That was it. I was just like, now tell me one more time how you're on a stall. Like, now tell me one more time. Like, what specifically is stalling you? Like, if there was anything you could change, what would that be? And all she did was just whatever she thought. I said, why don't you try that? Just try that. By the end, she was down, like, I think about 4 pounds in a month. So, but the reason I point this out was the only thing she did different was send me her food each day, which meant she wrote it down. And then because she sent it to me, she ate more on plan. So you could do that with your accountability groups. You could find, like, in her mind, she did not want to let me down. For all of you, you just need to think about this. Who in your life would you not like to let down? If that is a trigger that will work for you, you should start sending them that stuff. If you don't have anybody, have an accountability group, all of you agree to a prize at the end of the month that you're all going to get if you are all doing your shit. And then that way you will be like, I'm going to be a little bit more intentional this month because I don't want to let them down. That is a human psychology mechanism that you can use. It's fine to do things to not let other people down. We do it all the time. Like if you'll do it for your dogs, like, well, I'm going to take my dog out after work, even though I'm butt ass tired because I don't want my dog to be sad. How many of you have fur babies that you will kill yourself to take care of them on like your worst day because you don't want to let the baby down? And then you're just like, you know, I'm just going to let myself down every day. I don't matter as much. If that's you, if you're like somebody who's sitting around and you are very willing to let yourself down, you need to start talking to yourself in ways to where you would never want to let yourself down. And that doesn't mean that you're an asshole to yourself. You don't think jerky shit about Rover. You think Rover's amazing no matter what Rover does. Even when Rover acts like an ass, you get mad for a minute, but you forgive. And you keep loving him. You try to like figure out a way to not get, like let Rover keep doing it. Treat yourself like your own fucking animals. That's the lesson of the day. You want to lose weight? Find something in life that you've got on a high pedestal above your humanity, all of you. Some of y'all take better care of your cars. Some of you are so anal about cleaning your house, you take better care of your fucking house than you do yourselves. Like, I'm just going to be real with y'all. Sometimes we have to be just like, shit. Find the thing in life that you treat so good and that you think so good about it, and you would just be like, you would die before you let it down, and then say, what is it about that that I can now start building myself up to that level of esteem? All right. And then, so at 10,000 pounds loss, there is 1 month of group coaching with me, plus there's an accountability group grand prize that gets added. One accountability group will get picked and the group will get registered. The group will get coached by me together, but there's a catch. You know which accountability groups we're going to pick? The registered ones. We're not going to pick just like, you can't be submitting and be like, oh, but we've been Kelly Baker for like 10 years, Grant. Like the very first time you put it out, we got together. It's not fair. No, you know what it is? You're not following the rules. You got to go to the website. Go to the accountability page.
like somewhere on the website, if you don't know, Lisa will put it in the chat. Somewhere on the website, we have where you can go and register your accountability group. We want to keep tabs on y'all. We want to help y'all. We have things that we want to do, and we want to be able to just email the accountability groups so that the people who are not in accountability groups don't have to get emails if they don't want. So you need to get your asses registered. And if you're in an accountability group, you need to make sure somebody's done it for you. And if you know of other accountability groups, y'all need to check on each other and say like, hey, did y'all get registered? Because you do not want to miss the prize. Okay. So let's talk about how the hell we're going to lose some weight this week. Let me get my windows open. If you want to, all you have to do for in terms of registering for the weight you want to lose, you don't have to technically register it, I don't think, but you do need to register accountability groups. But if you go to, if you want to, you can go to the Drop It Like It's Hot page. All basically, y'all, all the information you need in order to have a baller month in July to where you are on tap is to go to the Drop It Like It's Hot page on nobswomen.com. Every piece of information is sitting there right there ready for you to just read. So I would highly recommend that you go there and you read it and you follow along. We've got really cool graphics. We've got phone backgrounds for you. There's lots of fun things on there for you. Okay, let's talk about the halftime method. Oh, one more announcement. I just want to make sure y'all all know this. For the month of July, I am going to do open coaching on the Sundays that I coach. So we are not going to send an email out. You do not have to sign up for coaching during the month of July. We're going to try going old school. We have been hand selecting for probably maybe a year now, just to make sure that like, if I want to coach on certain things, we can. This month, I just want to try raising hands and seeing how it goes when we just do open coaching, where it's just like, here, I'm just going to announce, here's a topic I want to coach on. Raise your hand if you want coached on it. We're going to try it that way for a little bit. Mainly just so that like, if you don't check your email, you might still be able to get coached and stuff. But I just want to tell all of you, I will not promise that we keep this routine. And here's why. There are lots and lots of things that happen behind the scenes that sometimes processes make things easier for the greater good. And so I just want to see how this goes. So as always, I test things. I try things just to see like what is going to work best for the membership overall, not what's going to work best for everybody. Because I know some people like it when I pick and some people going to like it when we raise hands and stuff. I get it. But as the world works, Corinne's going to pick what works best for all of us in the long run. Okay. That means that sometimes in the short term, we don't like it. So just going to put that out there. So for this month, we're going to try it. And then we'll decide after that what, like, I'll get a feel of, are we getting a good variety of calls? Are we still getting people who have quiet backgrounds, all that kind of stuff. Okay. Is my signal weak? Is it glitchy? I'm so sorry, y'all. Like, oh my God, I swear to God, I'm in the 1992. Here's what I do know. And somebody type it into the chat. If y'all are listening, we are recording it. Recording won't be glitchy. So you may have to re-listen. So the audio sounds okay. Okay. So I'm sorry. Well, I'm surrounded by hills. I know that that's a thing. So I don't know. All right, let's go. Mastering the halftime method. First, we need to understand how to do it. The first thing is that you're going to take your food and then you are going to eat half. Then you're going to pause. Everybody repeat. Then we pause. A lot of times when y'all read the halftime method, I hear people be like, oh my God, I only get to eat half my food. That's not the case. You pause so you can be intentional about thinking.
So you eat half your food and you take a break. And that break can be as little or as long as you want it. I don't really give a shit how long you pause. The purpose of the pause is to not hoover your food and then wake up at the end being like, oh, shit, I'm past enough. Or to wake up at the end and be like, oh, shit, I should have stopped. The purpose of the pause is to give your logical brain a moment to come online, because this is what happens when we eat. You've ate since the moment you've come out of the womb. You are in the habit of eating on autopilot. Every human is. Your brain should have habitualized eating by this point. If you are over the age of 5, your brain should have habitualized eating at this point. Its job is to check out while you eat, because it's like, oh, we do this all the time. Oh, this is like one of those things. It would be like saying, like when you brush your teeth, how many of you are sitting there thinking like, I better go to the right side. Oh, wait, right bottom. Oh, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. Now it's time to go to the back. I got it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Like your brain habitualizes everything, including eating. And a lot of y'all make yourselves out to be some kind of like asshole or defect or something's wrong with you simply because it's like, but I ate on autopilot. Who the fuck cares? You are a human. Your brain would be broken if you weren't habitualizing shit. Food is included. So we do things like the halftime method because we're habitualized probably to cleaning our plate. Our brain has decided ahead of time after thousands of meals, this is about what we eat. This is how much we should serve up. Like it doesn't think about, like your brain's job is not to think about if you've had enough or whatever. It's to just really do things on autopilot. That's its whole job, because it wants to save enough energy for critical thinking when it's needed. When you're eating, your brain doesn't think that this is a time where you need critical thinking. It doesn't think it's a problem. You want critical thinking when you're doing your taxes. You want your critical thinking to come online when you got to help your kid with algebra. You want critical thinking when you are doing a very complicated task for the first time. So your brain's like, will only use critical thinking skills about 5% of the time. Its whole wiring is to put everything into habitual thinking, including breathing, driving to work. Like you want your critical skills to be able to come online if there's a detour, if traffic is suddenly stopping. But if you think about everything you do in life, everything really just moves along. We get into our habits. So we do the halftime method and we stop halfway through as a point to our logical brain is like, what are you doing? What way? We always just keep eating. And that's what we want. We want that part of our brain to come on. We want that part of our brain to be like disrupted, to think something's going wrong. And that's the next thing, is that y'all gonna stop at the halfway point and your brain is gonna throw up a hissy fit. It's gonna be like, but we want more, but you're not finished. You haven't cleaned your plate. This is wasteful. Everybody else still eating. Like your brain's job is literally to find, like to tell you, you're breaking a routine pattern and it's bad because your brain thinks routine patterns are good. It's not going to, this is never going to happen. You're going to stop eating. And the first time you do it, it's not going to go like, yay, I'm so glad you're doing something different. I'm just sitting here getting fucking bored in the background. Said no brain ever. So for all of you that like have shame and worry and you're like, oh, clutch excuses, Corinne, I guess I can't do it. No. The excuses are supposed to come in simply because you broke a pattern. That's it. You don't need to think you're off the rails, that you can't do it, It's impossible because of your excuses. You don't need to worry about any of that because your brain's just functioning normal. Amazing, right? Isn't it nice to realize that you're just normal, that there's nothing wrong with you because you have weird ass thoughts that pop up when you stop eating, that when you need to do things like the halftime method. Every single person in the world that's going to change a habit has to have a pause in the middle of a habit or at the beginning of a habit, and they have to do it intentionally until that thing is broken. That is the way it always works. And the way that you eat is just another habit that we're going to work on. It is not a moral defect. Okay. So you'll pause. You're probably going to hear some shit and you're going to be like, that's all right. I understand, brain, you're freaking out. You think something's going wrong, but nothing's going wrong. Because here's what we're doing. We're checking our body. And if we've had enough, then now we just decide, am I going to stop it enough or am I going to on purpose overeat? Because that's really where the decision is at that point. And that's what I want you to tell yourself. If I think I'm at enough, I should just stop. Or if I think I'm at enough and I'm unsure, I just need to tell myself I'm purposely going to overeat, because I'm just going to tell all of you, if you think you're at enough, you probably are. Usually when there's a hesitation at enough, it's not because you're not at enough. It's because you're more afraid that you'll get hungry later, that it won't be enough. And let me just like calm you down. The way the four basics work and the way doable hunger specifically works is if you stop it enough and you realize in a half hour or an hour that you were wrong, then just go eat something else. Just make a good choice. You have the permission to eat. I do not want y'all starving, but I do want you to start get going with your gut on things. And if you're wrong repeatedly, then note it and just say like, all right, I've been thinking this is enough. This is probably not enough. This is probably me knocking off hunger. I'm just knocking off hunger, but that doesn't mean I've ate enough to last me for 3 or 4 hours. So I'm going to eat a little more. And I'm going to check and see what those physical symptoms are like. Okay. So we stop. We either like we've had enough or we're going to choose to overeat at this point. I think it's really important for you to say at this point, I choose to overeat. And here's why. I want you to identify one of the three things that are going to come up. You're either fearful, uncertain, or you lack a purpose and a passion for your weight loss. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. This is an appetizer for all of you who are coming to No BS Excuses Camp. One of the very first lessons is we talk about all excuses come down to only three big things. Every excuse means I'm afraid of something, or I'm uncertain about something, or I don't have a strong enough reason to do this thing. And when you clean those three things up, when you overcome those, the fears, the uncertainties, or the lack of why, so many of your excuses are really easy to overcome. But most of us are just hearing our excuses, but we're not figuring out why they're coming up to begin with. Okay. All right. So we stop at the halfway point and we're either going to choose to overeat or we're not. Let's say you stop and you're like, this is for sure not enough. Then you eat half again and then you pause again. You just keep pausing halfway through until you either are at enough or you finish. Now, I read something hilarious in the Facebook group. Everyone knows Corinne is not the math nerd. One of our math nerds
posted something really funny. She was like, you know, for all of us who are perfectionists and who do math and stuff, has anyone noticed that if you did the halftime method indefinitely, you would never finish? Like, hey, that's a good point. But don't get choked up in that, my perfectionist people, my math nerds. Just honor the spirit of Corinne's message, which is you're just going to keep halvesing until you're done. So if that means you leave a nugget of a corn kernel left, good for you. The whole purpose of it is we want to learn how to have pauses in the middle of habitual things that we do that will help us lose our weight. All right. Y'all, everyone here putting in the big words in the chat. I can't even read some of this stuff. Like, wow. All right. Congratulations to all my peoples who are like my husband, who really love the math and love all of the, like, oh my gosh, Chris loves math. If there is a math conversation, he will have at it. All right. Now, if you need to finish your food, this, the thing about the halftime method that I want y'all to remember is, number one, it is not a punishment. This is not a way to just eat less. For a lot of you, that's the thoughts that you'll have about it. It's like, here I am punishing myself. No, here we are figuring out how to break our habitual eating so that we can habitualize the kind of eating that will help us lose weight. That's all we're really doing. Then the other thing is, this is not just a way to eat less. Sometimes you will eat less, but it is a way to recondition your eating so that you know how to eat more when you need to eat more and eat less when you need to eat less. That's what the purpose of the halftime method is. And it's also an easy way, a way to understand what keeps you eating during times that you're just mindlessly doing it. What you're going to notice through it is you'll notice that when you eat in front of the TV, it's a little harder to stop. If you're with friends, it's easy to get lost in the conversation. There's nothing wrong with you because all that happens. A lot of you, what I notice that will help you with losing weight this month is dropping the beatdowns of, like, let's say I'm eating and I lose my train of thought. Like, and because I was actually talking about this weekend with my friends. There were six of us. Chris is going to be 56 this year. Is he 50? No, he's going to be 55 this year. My friend Jane and Todd and Bill and Lori. Well, not Jane. Jane is going to be 49 this year. She's going to be 48 this year. The rest of us are turning 49 this year. So we're all in that little 50s area. And I looked at Jane and I said, is it just me? Or do you just forget things a lot sooner now? And like, I used to be able to multitask. And I don't mean I was really good at multitasking. I just mean, like, I could do two things at once and be competent. Now, well, I got to just pick my winner. Like, there is no doing two things at once anymore. I can't do one thing and listen and have an intelligent conversation. Like, I will not hear a word somebody else says. She's like, oh yeah, me too. Like, we're all just talking about, oh yeah, that skill's gone. This is why, like, with the halftime method, like, I don't want y'all beating yourself up. Your brain, when it goes into its routine stuff, it is supposed to check out. So that if you want to watch TV while you're eating, don't be hard on yourself because you can't concentrate on your body's signals while watching TV and stuff. That's just a phenomenon that happens. So, like, for some of us who are like in our 50s, stop beating yourself up over shit like that. And if you're younger, if you're in your 30s or 40s, number one, your day's coming. But number two, I just want you to remember that if we are going to pay attention to something, we have to pay attention to something. Don't be upset with yourself because when you watch TV, you overeat. Just tell yourself, it's good to know. Maybe I should eat half my meal without the TV on. And then if I want more and I think this is going to be like this plate is enough, then I'll watch TV. Just try it for a little bit, or at least have an alarm go off on your phone every 2 minutes while you eat in front of the TV so that you don't get distracted. So The bottom line is be kind to yourself. Everything makes sense. All right. So here's what I want you to do while you're doing the halftime method. Number one, I want you to notice your thoughts about it. You want to work through any thoughts that are going to leave you with fear, uncertainty, or a lack of like, why? Like a lack of a compelling reason, a lack of importance. So there are three big reasons behind every excuse. The first is always the fears. This is what I often hear. I'm doing the halftime method. I don't want to stop because I'm afraid I'll get hungry. So I want you to use your four N's. We're just going to use, so we're noticing our brain says, oh God, I'm afraid that I'm not going to get enough. We're going to go to normalizing it. And I want you to tell yourself, that's normal because past diets, I had to be extremely hungry. In past diets, I did things where I was miserable. So I could see why my brain is trying to think that this is like that. Then you don't even have to neutralize stuff, y'all. We're just going to go right to the next best thought. We're going to normalize, and then we're going to say, but I'm willing to see if this is even true this time. Let's just see if I actually get hungry. Because the difference this time is if I get hungry, what do I get to do, y'all? I get to eat. All I can eat what's left over. I can have a protocol for, this would be a really good idea for everyone, is to have a protocol for in the event I get hungry, because at a meal, maybe I don't eat enough that lasts me. Here's the foods I pick from. Here's what I allow myself to have. And now it'd probably be really helpful because I was actually reading someone in the Facebook group yesterday who said she got hungry. And of course, she wanted potato salad. She was like, wait a minute, probably better options in my fridge. Like, I like how my brain goes straight to, oh, you didn't eat enough at that meal, so you should go and scarf down some potato salad. So we want to make sure that we set our brain up for success as many times as possible. So if you are someone who is like, I've done the diets, I might not get enough, I'm afraid of that. One of the best ways to overcome that fear is to have a protocol of, here are the foods that I eat. If for some reason I am still hungry an hour later, I go to my list and I choose from here. Okay. The second thing, I don't know if this is enough for weight loss. This is uncertainty. So there's three things your brain hates. It hates being afraid of things. If it's afraid, it is going to do anything and everything to overcome the fear, even if it means overeating. It would rather be afraid you can't ever lose weight than it would be to be afraid that that you don't get enough. It's like, well, let's kick the can down there. We're going to be afraid of that later. Right now, she's afraid of this. We got to solve for this. The next one is uncertainty. Our brains do not like open loops. Have you ever watched a TV show that you love? Like right now, Chris and I, we're watching The Americans. We love all kinds of spy stuff. If it's CIA spy shit, we'll watch it. And like every episode, like open loop at the end. So when a season ends, we have to watch the next one. It's just like, just go ahead and fire up the next season because it's always such a fucking cliffhanger. That's your brain. It's uncertain what's going to happen. And it's like, you should watch another show. Like, we can't be sitting here wondering what Philip's next costume is going to look like. So you want to make sure you're guarding against that. So if you're sitting around going like, oh no, this is going to be enough for me to lose weight. If that's one of the things, guess what you got to do? You have to give your brain certainty. Otherwise, if it stays in the I don't know loop, you know what it's going to do? I'm certain if I quit trying, then we don't have to think about this anymore. I'm real certain if we quit, we won't lose weight. Like, I want you to think about it. All your brain wants is certainty. And it would rather quit to give you certainty that it won't work than it would be to give you certainty that it will. Because that's the easy one. So you got to be deliberate. You can't just go with it, you know, easy doors all the time. So we have to give our brain something to be certain about. So we're going to normalize this one. So if we don't know if this is going to be enough to lose weight, we're going to say that's normal because I've done so many extreme diets that my brain associates hard with weight loss. Because when we're doing easier things, our brain flicks like, this can't be enough. I remember your past diets. Remember Ketoville like 10 years ago and you dropped like 50 pounds? Remember how hard that was? Remember all those days you felt like ass? Remember all the times you were hungry? Remember all the days you didn't eat because your body got faux suppressed, but your hair started falling out? Like, your brain has a misassociation. It thinks weight loss has to be hard. So what we want to do is tell yourself, what is the certain thing? Here's what we're certain of. I'm certain that extreme things have backfired or I wouldn't be here. We should just remind our brain. If we don't know if it's going to be enough for weight loss, we should say, here's what I'm certain of. Extreme shit has not worked. That 50 pounds I lost, like 10 of it was my hair. That 50 pounds I lost, it came back with a vengeance. I'm certain of that. The moment that I wanted to have a piece of fucking bread like a normal person, that was gone. Now look, I know some of you do keto. I am not a keto hater. I'm just using it as an example. The same principle applies to Weight Watchers. It applies to veganism. It applies to anything. I don't care what methodology you use to lose weight. I care about your brain that goes on behind it. I care about why you're doing it. I care about your mentality around it. And because I know some of you need to be doing keto. Like some of you are type 1 diabetics. Some of y'all have legit health things where you need to be doing that. I think that's amazing. If you're doing it for a medical reason, you're not going to be like, this is not an extreme thing for you. It's a medical thing for you, which is very different. But for people that are cutting out all the carbs because they insist that carbs make them fat instead of, oh no, it ain't that. It's that when I eat a piece of bread, I don't eat a piece of toast with my eggs. I eat a loaf because I'm afraid I'm not going to get no more. You're not working on your fear and your anxiety. You're not working on that stuff. All right. So the last one, this is the next one that likes to come up. It won't matter. Whatever I do, it just ain't going to matter. This is the one that a lot of you need to work on, which is you have all these little thoughts that'll pop up and it will show that you are not doing enough work on making your weight loss important in your life. Now, a lot of you already know, Corinne, I think it's important. It's like, it's important in the moment you feel bad about yourself. We've got to make it really important all the time. And important, not in the sense of like dire straits, impending doom, but important in a passionate way, where you paint the picture of why this is so important to you, to where it's so important you can't get it out of your mind at times because it matters so much. And I'm not talking about obsessing on it. I'm talking about in every moment when you have an opportunity to love yourself harder, take care of yourself better, pay attention to your truest feelings, speak up for yourself, celebrate yourself, make healthier choices, get up and walk for 10 minutes, whatever it is, that you feel compelled to do it because you know why your weight loss is so important to you. It's so important you're willing to prioritize a few things. You're willing to do some things when you don't want to. And that's really important. So a lot of you will have, like, you'll be doing a halftime method and you'll hear yourself wanting to keep eating because you'll think, well, this won't matter. And I want you to tell yourself that's normal. Because I tend to focus on the negatives. All of our brains are supposed to look for what's wrong in life first. Our brain is supposed to see negatives first.
That doesn't mean something's wrong with you. It doesn't mean you're a negative Nelly or whatever they call it. I think it's negative Nelly, actually.
It just means
that you need to remember that that's probably going to be something that's going to come up for you. And your job is not to get frustrated with yourself and down on yourself. Your job is to talk to yourself more about what is important. So in the moment when you say it won't matter, I want you to say, but I know blowing past my small daily decisions is really detrimental to my weight loss. So I want all of you to think about this, because I think a lot of us, probably this won't hurt and it won't matter, or it's okay, is my biggest excuses. Like that often, like back in the day, I was more about the fear. And then like I've had uncertainty. Now at this stage, I am not afraid of being hungry. Like I don't really have fears around food anymore. I have ate the foods I loved long enough to where my brain doesn't think I'm never getting that again, or she's taking it away. So I have solved that area of my life after years of doing the written work and eating the foods. For a while when I was losing weight, and for the first few years, especially when I was maintaining, uncertainty was a big issue. You know, I was uncertain if, you know, can I keep this up? Will this weight stay off? Like I had a lot of uncertainty. Now, after years and years and years of being a goal weight, you know, like being able to, like if like right now I'm in it with y'all. I was so proud of myself on this vacation. I didn't do it perfect, but oh my God, I couldn't believe how good I did in Vegas on this trip, simply because I was just really honestly journaling every morning about what mattered most on the vacation and what mattered most long-term. I wrote extensively about like how I would feel the next day if I was drinking and everything. Ended up not even drinking for two straight days. I had two drinks on day one. I had the most drinks on day two, but it was a big celebration day. It was kind of like the big planned day, and we were going to be going all the way through the night. But even on that day, my friends and I, we went shopping and we had champagne while we shopped. We got offered champagne a couple of places, and I don't even know if I can tell y'all this story about crying. So my first wedding ring that Chris gave me was stolen. Like early on in our marriage, it was, I don't know, maybe 10 years into our marriage. And I had, let me just tell you the story. When I first got married, I had a marquee cut. It was the cut I wanted. Chris surprised me, all the things. And when Logan was born, oh my God, that ring was a bitch. It cut him. It caught on everything. It was like the worst ring ever for a new mother. So I got out of the habit of wearing it. And then my grandmother gave me her wedding ring. And I wore it for years. And at some point, both rings got stolen. And this was years ago. And I just gave up on rings. I was just like, I am not, like, rings are not my thing, all the junk. Well, the last couple of years, I've really wanted a wedding ring because I just love Chris and I's marriage so much. So anyway, I had planned this trip. Chris and I, we were going wedding ring shopping, and I had looked, I knew what I wanted, like all these different things. And Chris and I never go, like, if you ask anybody, we never go anywhere in Vegas. We go to the pool, we go to the poker room, we go to the room. We even eat room service. Well, we get there, and on Saturday, we're like, we're going to go ring shopping. And my two best friends in the world happen to be in Vegas with me. They're like, can we go? And I was like, y'all don't have to go. I just figured they'd want to go to the pool. Like, I was just like, oh my God, we're here to like drink and have a good time and be at the pool. We do this every single year. They're like, no, we want to go. I'm like, all right, well, we won't be gone long. Well,
We get there at like 10 in the morning, maybe it was 11, something like, maybe it was around 11. And we went shopping. I found my ring and they got it sized. And then my other girlfriend, she wanted to do some shopping. And the store, she were just treating us so nice. We had champagne and we celebrated. And that was worth it. And that's what I want all of you to think about. Like, for me, those are the moments that matter. And those are the moments, like, I would never regret that day, ever. But then the next day and the day after that, I've done all my journaling. You know, we had celebrated. I didn't even drink at dinner that night. I was too fucking excited about my ring. But I was so proud of myself because this trip, like, I felt like every day I just, like, didn't go with my habit brain. I didn't just go on vacation like I always do. I made intentional plans every single day. And it did not feel like a grind because I stuck with what's important. I really tapped into what matters in my life. I did not make plans from, you can't have this, you shouldn't do this. I didn't do any of that. I wrote every day about, here's what I want to do and here's why. Here's why this is going to be good for me. Here's why this matters. Here's like how I'm going to feel about it later. And I think that that's one of the most important ones for y'all, because a lot of you aren't tapping into that. You're not thinking about like the bigger picture of your life. And I think it's so important. So that brings us to the next thing. I want you to know why you're losing weight, and I want you to share it. You can share it with your accountability groups. You can share it with someone you love, or you can just share it with yourself, but you need to share it. And a lot of you aren't even sharing it with you right now. So this morning I got up and I actually redid some stuff. And I want you to think about this. I want you to think about all the juicy benefits of doing the things for your weight loss. And I call it the juicy benefits because a lot of us just, we don't tap into this enough. So here's a few questions you can ask yourself. Number one, who is going to benefit from me making these changes? For some of you, it's your kids are going to benefit. For some of you, it's your spouses. For some of you, it's your career is going to benefit. You know, like for me, when I take really good care of myself, y'all benefit. I am a better coach. I can tell you more stories. When I am taking care of me, when I am working on me, all of you benefit. And I think about that all the time. So there are people in this world who are going to benefit. For I know a lot of you follow me and you're in this membership, plus you're in my business membership. Your entrepreneurship benefits when you take care of you. You have the energy to do your day job plus build a business. So I want you to think about all of the people in this world who are going to benefit when you are taking care of you. The next question is, how's this going to save me money? You know, like here we are in like, you know, crazy times when it comes to money. And I don't think a lot of you listen to the news and stuff and just get freaked out instead of thinking about, oh my gosh, one of the most expensive things I do is eating. That is literally one of the most expensive things we all do. And thinking about like how making small changes in the way that you care for yourself with food and stuff, how much that's going to add up monetarily for you. So many of you, your grocery bills go way down when you cut out the emotional eating. When you start working on your emotions, people will say they are saving like over $200 a month by simply cutting out. Like if you, every few days, you're a Starbucks person and you're going and you're just getting some Starbucks because you're not treated anywhere good in life. Or it's just because you're always so fucking tired because you're so emotionally worn out with things, you need that extra edge. Like when we start really taking care of ourselves, we can let go of some of these things that we do because we're not, we don't have any fulfillment anywhere else in life. I'm sorry, but the last thing I want in the world is to be able to say, like, I'm so glad I drank all those Starbucks and ate all those Milk Duds and ate out all these times because I had no other joy in my life. Like, for a lot of us, we need to be thinking about how this is going to save us money. And then we're not even tapping into the cost of meds. So, like, my mom has come off so many meds since she's lost weight. She saves like $300 a month in medication because so many of her shit got reversed just by taking care of herself and losing 120 pounds. So that is important. The next one is, what could change in my health future? I know a lot of y'all are like me. You're getting closer to the 50s. And this is not like for my 20, 30, and 40 year olds. Do not sit there and act like you don't got to answer this question. You're going to be one day having grandkids, or you're one day going to be in your 70s. What quality of life do you want? And if you're in your 50s, 60s, and 70s, what are you going to want for your 80s and 90s? It is never too late to make a positive change. It's never too late to add some quality of life. If you don't like your quality of life now, don't keep eating over it. That's not making it better. It may not be what you ultimately, like, what you wish it could be, but do you want it to get worse? Can we just try to make it better? And I think this is important. I have watched too many of the women in my life have awful elderly years, simply because they didn't make some changes in their 60s and 70s. I got a grandmother right now, not doing good. She's 86, my only living grandmother. I begged her to do better in her 70s, and she didn't. And she is paying the piper now. So for all of you, what can we be doing? It is never too late. And then what will life look like and feel like if I lost just 10% of my weight? I think this is a really good question, especially for all my girls that have a lot of weight to lose like I did. Like, I remember at that 100-pound mark, like when I had 100-plus pounds to lose, it really helped me to think about losing 10 pounds. I would sit there and think, I'll feel a little better. At least I'll feel like I'm on track. At least each day I'll have some momentum. And that was so much better than the shit I was feeling every day, because I was feeling off track, hopeless, dejected every day. And then the last question is, what am I most looking forward to when I lose weight, but I'm afraid to say it? And I think this is a really good question, because a lot of us, we have a burning fucking desire down there. We have something that either we're ashamed to admit it, we're afraid to admit it or whatever. Look, I don't care if it's you want to look like, a Kardashian. I don't give a shit what you want. This is for you. This is for you to stay motivated. This is for you to get to, like, luxuriously indulge in your own dream. And let me just say, women need to quit being so ashamed of what their desires are. You don't have to tell the world, but at least tell you. And tell yourself like a trusted advisor. And then the last thing that I want to tell y'all today, when it comes to the halftime method, it comes to the whole month, is please set your environment up to support you. When you try the halftime method, if you're scared to death to do it, try at meals that's easy for you first. Show your brain it's not as bad, and then it probably will have less fear around another meal. You can also portion out half ahead of time if you're afraid you're not going to remember to do it, or it's going to be too tempting to keep eating.
portion out food half the time, half your food, then wrap up the second portion before you eat. And then if you still want it, you can go get it, but at least give yourself that immediate half pause. And then you can go and get, but all right, if I still want more, if I'm not at enough, I'll go to the half wrapped. I'll grab another half. I'll wrap that. And I'll just keep doing that until I get to where I feel confident. I could see it all in front of me and be okay. That is an amazing first step to learning how to create some safety around trying to eat in a way that's intentional and listens to your body. And then the last thing is just set a timer on your phone if you need to. Like today, just see how long it typically takes you to eat. And then for tomorrow, set a timer for about halfway, like just for, if say it takes you 10 minutes to eat, then set a timer for 5 for tomorrow, just to give you some additional cues. All right, let me see. Can you please restate the questions quickly? Yeah. And then everybody wants to see my ring. I will show y'all my ring. I gotta tell you, it's beautiful. Just gonna say it is beautiful, but I'll show you two in just a second. The questions. Who will benefit from my changes? How will this save me money? What could change in my health future? What will life look and feel like if I lost just 10% of my weight? And what am I most looking forward to that I'm afraid to say? What we'll do, Mish, is if you will take the questions, I'll copy paste them and put them into Slack for you. Make a post in Facebook, Mish, and just say, like, here's the questions from today's halftime method. The video should release on, what is today, Wednesday? The video, whenever we get the video up, I believe it's on Friday. And then just let everybody know they should watch the replay. But those are the questions. So y'all can go find them there. And then we'll also put them in the description of this call for all of you. That way, if you want to just copy and paste them, that'll be two locations. It'll be on the website by Friday, or it'll be on the Facebook group today. Okay. Let me get my baby twisted around where she's in the right spot. Okay. There you go. It's a yellow diamond. You know me and Dolly, we're both blonde. I am so into the, I knew I wanted a yellow diamond. So that was like the big thing, is I have been wanting a yellow diamond for years. And I knew that I wanted a cushion cut, because I was like, I don't want to scratch anything. I don't plan to have a newborn anytime soon, but just in case Logan decides to have some grandbabies one day, I do not want to get back in the same boat that I was in. But anyway, it's all mine. And this one is, somebody will have to cut my finger off or kill me to get it at this point, because I am not losing this one and no one is stealing it. So, but anyway, we have it's the ring I should have always had. And it was so cool, because the place we went to go get it, there was a couple of rings. They both looked almost identical, but they weren't identical. But you know, to me, I'm not detail oriented. And the lady said, she literally was just like, just put them both on, and the one that speaks to your heart is the one. I was like, oh my God, life coach, jewelry dealer. And so I was thinking about me all the time, telling them, just put your hand over your heart, everyone. And so I did, like, I put them on. And I literally dropped into my body, and one of them felt different than the other. Like, it felt like, I hate to say it, but for lack of a better word, spiritually different. And so that was the one. And I got it. And then we had a great day, and I enjoyed, I loved sharing it with my friends. It was just a good day. And I'm still so emotional about it. So anyway, all right. We are at the end of time. All of you have an amazing Wednesday. I will see y'all Sunday. I will be back. I'll be home on Saturday. Woo, y'all. I've been gone almost a week, and you know me, I like my homebodiness. So, but I will see y'all on Sunday for coaching, if I don't see you in the Facebook sooner. All right. Bye, y'all.